Welcome back to the Hard Knocks Sorority Podcast, chummers. This is a 4th edition Shadowrun actual play, GM'd by myself, Paul, and played by Veronica as Cecile, a.k.a. College Girl, Kat as Deandra, Val as Ollie, a.k.a. Boxer, and Beth as Grace, a.k.a. Nightingale. Dex is joining us as the team's rigger, Grim. This is episode 17 of Season 2. The team is still staked out near the target, a rustic farmhouse in the Snohomish countryside. The night air is cool and still, the stars are shining brightly, and the team is still spooked. For good reason. Their target is a security consultant with hellhounds, drones, and some tricks up their sleeve. I hope you enjoy the episode and thank you for spending your time with us. By the way, the maps I'm using in-game can be found on our Discord if you are interested. I'd also like to take a moment to recommend another show, Resting Glitchface. These guys are awesome, and you definitely should be listening to them if you haven't been already.
2081 has been a hell of a year for St. Louis, Missouri. An astral anomaly left a 2-mile radius around downtown a toxic hellscape, and the residents have been left to pick up the pieces, but the hits just keep on coming. At the center of it all are the Glitches, a Shadowrunning team made up of Bianca the Face, aka Eris, Val the Technomancer, aka Binary, Joe the Muscle, aka Collateral, and Jet the Sneak Thief, aka, well, Jet. Some of us are better than others at sticking to a code name. The girls attempt to navigate the criminal elements of the St. Louis streets, all while looking out for themselves, each other, and the people they love.
If you want more of the Glitches, feel free to drop into the Gamers Table Discord or check us out on the socials at Resting Glitchface. You can find us on all major podcatchers or check out our Patreon. Thanks for listening.
Hi, Craig.
Good evening, Craig.
Cecile is just saying very bad things about you.
Of course, Cecile would.
First of all, I don't have an opening scene for you since, you know, only so much can happen in an hour.
I was going to just say that's fair.
A lot can happen in an hour, though.
A lot can happen, but not a lot pertinent to the story. I mean, I could, like, give you opening scenes that are just general Shadowrun stuff for 6th edition, 6th world stuff going on.
How's Graham doing?
An hour, they ate donuts. That's all.
Graham is probably eating
at this hour.
No, she's in. Well, she's probably watching Tridship.
It just cuts to Kirsten doing something.
Something nefarious, probably.
No. It cuts to like a text conversation between Ms. Magnumfoot and some like major Shadowrun person, and it's just like a conversation entirely in emoji.
I imagine that in the sixth world, in 2072, variety and palette of abuse has expanded the comprehensible. I imagine that there's probably a language skill associated specifically. Like, there are probably emoji dialects that...
I hate the
that's
idea.
That's horrifying.
I hate to tell you this, but that already exists in real life.
It does, doesn't it? As I was saying it, I was thinking, yeah, I actually think.
You can tell generations based on emojis.
I hate it.
So, but what I was going to do today was going to say, instead of doing an opening scene, how about if each of you describes and explains an intimate detail about your character's personality that hasn't been revealed yet in-game? And I was going to say, if you make it detailed and interesting, you can earn an additional one-time point of edge.
Ooh. Oh, no.
I was waiting for that reaction.
I think D&D can literally not turn down a request for help. Like, it has probably gotten her into... It's just like, it's something she learned from her father that she doesn't like to put down. Like, her father was a figure in the early troll community in Seattle. And when you're all in deep shit, you don't turn anyone down for help. D'Andre just picked that up. And so now if you ask D'Andre for help, she will go out of her way to help you. I mean, it's an impactful set of words on her.
D'Andre's father was a troll?
Yeah. Galvanized in 2022, because he's that old, remember?
Did he survive the Night of Rage?
I don't think he did. Deander wasn't in Seattle after the Night of Rage, or during the Night of Rage. She was in the newly established Gier. I think she regrets not being in Seattle that night, mostly because she thinks she could have saved her father, but who knows?
Does she know how her father died?
I think Rian knows, and has told her at least once. But D'Andre definitely puts that out of her mind.
Was Rian there?
Rian was there, because that's the whole reason they split up from being like inseparable. That D'Andre wanted to go fight in the Shear Revolution, and Rian didn't want to, so D'Andre left.
All right, D'Andre earns a point of edge.
So here's an interesting one. Cecile is lonely. In fact, with her off and on partner Lexi, where their relationship is really not going great and neither of them can stand the other, the only thing that propels the relationship to keep going sporadically is the fact that neither of them actually feels like they can get intimacy with anyone else or that anyone else understands them. So both of them keep coming back to each other unhealthily, periodically, when tensions get too high. The reason the relationship does not go well, incidentally, is because Cecile cannot really feel fully like an equal with someone who isn't magically active.
Oh, so she's magic raised.
Is Lexi a student at the university too?
She studies something about business management.
How long have they been together?
A year. They got together about around the time Seal actually got into Seattle.
Tell us a little bit about Lexi then.
Lexi is very much a career businesswoman. In the same way that Cecile gets so stressed out by her work in college and stuff, Lexi does the same, except Lexi is also a take-no-shit kind of person. She is the quintessential girl boss, takes no shit.
So is Cecile modeling her personality after Lexi's?
It would be more apt to say that they're just very similar sorts of people, and that attracted them to one another, if that makes sense. Like, Cecile is pursuing success and prestige in an academic magical field. Lexi does not have the privilege of magic, and as such, she has to try even harder to make it in the cutthroat actual business world, which in some ways makes her even more of a bitch than Cecile can be. Because she just can't afford to have any kind of ness shown.
Okay. All right. You earned a point of edge for the night.
Nice. I'm going to need it.
Anybody else want to shoot for a point of edge?
I'll go for it. Ollie in the band waiting for them to actually get into it. Just says. There's not really much that she can do. She's already figured out where she's going to go, what she's going to do. Really, she expected to have gone earlier, so she's left with nothing for this. Her eyes wander down to her left arm. It's a familiar place to look, even though she never likes it. Her hand flexes. She watches it, sees every little way that it's just unnatural, brings up her other hand. They look almost the same. You'd have to look pretty closely to tell that they're different. But one of them is, to those who are familiar, a cyberlink. She puts her natural hand over it, looks pointedly away. Xaval everything. It shouldn't be that the natural feels better. Neither of them should feel good at all, really. The cyber hand as well. It's just dissonant steel and wire. The natural one, because it doesn't actually hurt. Something, some event gave it to her, a disaster, and just like the one that took her other arm, it feels bad. Doesn't feel wrong. There are phantom sensations that just don't make sense. In any event, she'd come to a conclusion long ago that to become more machine than man, she couldn't live, not knowing what it feels like with what cyber she does have. In a nutshell, Phantom Limb got wrapped up with the whole changing thing.
Yeah, I was going to ask, is that so she's got the, she's looking at her cyber arm. She looks at her cyber arm and her actual arm almost in the same light.
Yeah. The only reason she didn't try to surgically fix, quotation marks, herself before is because she felt so uncomfortable with the cyber that she has. So she's just kind of stuck in a place where she doesn't really want to be. But the two ways forward that she knows just aren't tolerable, comfortable. So she just settled on the one that hurts the least.
She got the cyber arm while she was with the company, with Bravo Company, right?
Yes. Cyber arm was, that was because she lost her natural arm in combat.
But it was before she left Bravo.
Yes.
And she's got other cyber gear, right?
Those are a lot less intrusive than a whole arm.
All right. Yeah. Take a point of edge. So, I don't know. Beth, do you want to give something for Nightingale?
Nightingale, like, she comes from a world and thus basically a family in how Pony Society works that was, like, good on paper, if you know what I mean. Things were meant to be just fine and dandy and as good as they were going to get. And in comparison to the Sixth World, on paper, it looks a lot better. But she left home not just because she wanted to profit from the Aether to learn things. It's not like she's just some little mad scientist. The expectation of compliance, of conformity, of fitting into society and your role in it that Equestria thrusts upon its citizen is overpowering. It's fatiguing. It's exhausting. And Nightingale, she didn't really fit in with where she came from, which was the equestrian countryside among magical peasant, earth pony, agriculture works and whatnot, and where she ended up, which was in the School of Magic in Canterlot, surrounded by well-educated people who lived their entire lives within the walls of the city. She was utterly alienated and never quite a right fit for where she was. And she couldn't really do anything about that other than try to come to them, to fit in with them, to be the person they expected her to be. And eventually she came to the conclusion that she just wasn't meant for where she was. She wasn't meant for the School of Magic. She wasn't meant for Barley, her hometown. She wasn't meant for Equestria. Her purpose was greater than that. It was literally among the stars. And thus, that's why she's in this, a part of it, part of the pressure, not fully consciously.
So it was sort of a dissatisfaction or a dissatisfaction with where she was in Equestria that led her to leave?
Yeah, basically her home life, speaking in metaphor, because, well, not even really that, like the entire world was their home pony. Her home life was just very toxic, but in ways that is hard to articulate and explain and address, especially in a culture which perpetuates that kind of toxicity in order to survive.
Is that something that Grace has ever articulated to herself, or was that just something?
I imagine it was just something that was like another reason that she didn't even quite think about it. She just didn't feel like she fit in. She didn't feel like she was right. She perceived herself being different from every pony else. And she said to myself, I'm bad. I don't fit here. This isn't right. This isn't right. Instead of turning around and saying the society isn't right for ponies, it was I'm not right for ponies. Whenever in reality, if she were able to articulate that and communicate that to people who wouldn't immediately shut her down, like her teachers or other authority figures in her life, which is, I imagine, where it originally went, she would have probably found communion and understanding and people of similar position backgrounds, but she just never did that. And thus, alienation. A deep, terrifying alienation.
Because now she's even more alien, in a way.
But at the very least, she can say that she disagrees, or she can say no without it being something that is like put upon her.
Or does she feel less alien in the sixth world than she did in Equestria?
I don't think it necessarily has anything to do with her status as an alien here. It's more that despite all of the toxic aspects of the sixth world, she has a renewed sense of freedom and ability that she didn't whenever she was living in Equestria, even though she had, like, by all objective standards, a better standard of living.
Cool. All right. I think that's worth an edge.
Thank you.
I guess since I understand the prompt now, I'll add to the thing I said before. So,
all right.
Yes, my father killed my mother, but it hurt more than it would normally to a normal person because she was the only one that was kind to me in my youth. And she tried to help me escape the situation that he put me through by giving me a out, which was video games. So that's why I still play them. It's not out of addiction. It's out of there's like some kind of connection that I still have with my mother through that interaction. But
I'm gonna get that pot.
It does help escape.
It's like a planter pot that looks like.
But that's why he plays games so heavily, is because it's what he did to drown out the terrible life that he grew up in. And it's also something that his mother gave him.
All right. All right. So everybody's earned an edge. Free bonus edge for tonight. You probably won't.
I mean, I didn't have any edge to spend before tonight, before that, so.
Oh, yeah. Did I expend all of my edge? Did I expend my edge?
Guess who was also completely empty? I had to spend it concealing my secrets.
All right, so where we left the team was in the van about a kilometer down from the farm where Kirsten had given the team a job to go retrieve a file or a dossier. She did not specify where it was or what form it took. She just said that you would recognize it when you found it. The house is the house of one Charles Lee, a.k.a. Jaden Price, who is one of the founding owners of Warehouse Alliance and is associated with Dean Petrov and George Van Housen and that group. You guys did some legwork in the last session, in the previous sessions. You determined that there are two hellhounds and two drones that are circling farm. Cecile hacked the matrix, but was spooked by the fact that the only thing that seemed to be connected to this network were a couple of cameras. And Grimm did a flyby with a flying eye drone and was able to peer into the windows and determine that the windows that peer that what he saw inside matched what Cecile was relaying from the feeds in the camera. The farmhouse appears to be lived in. There are lights on in a couple of rooms. There's a fire in a fireplace, but there is no sign of the inhabitants themselves. Grace was astrally reconnoitering. She encountered the hellhounds who were able to observe her in the astral dual natured, so she also wasn't able to go too close. Actually, she went into the barn and saw that in the barn there were several other hellhounds in cages.
That was with the fly spy. Yeah, there's horses and hellhounds in a barn.
Very strange.
Horses.
Why do they have hell? Oh no! Oh no! I didn't think we'd ever meet horses.
Yes.
I don't think that they're gonna like Nightingale.
I think the better question is, does Nightingale like them?
I think she's not going to make the connection at first. That's what a horse is.
Mm.
There are cameras. If you look at the map, there are lit areas. This is where light is shining out of windows in the house or where there are external lights. There are also cameras watching the entrances to the house.
You said there are spotlights?
There are spotlights. So this area here is lit by by an exterior light. These areas are lit by exterior lights.
Is that connected to the node that I have?
No. And then
do they move at all?
There's a camera here. There are cameras on the barn. Do the spotlights move? They're not really. Spotlights is the wrong word. Spotlights, I mean more. They're just sort of a light attached to the.
Ah, okay.
Mm.
So you guys are back, all back at the van. And then I think Grace had.
And she's like, there's Hellhound. They aren't happy.
Yeah, we saw them. There's plenty.
Grim, you're still jumped into the drone, right? I think.
I believe I remember.
Let's just say you are.
Okay, sure.
That doesn't mean you can't talk to the team either through your group network or through the speakers in the truck.
Yeah.
I still think our best option is to infiltrate physically.
Yeah, but if we infiltrate physically, you can sneak. Maybe Boxer can. Nightingale can go, what, invisible? That doesn't help on the astral. What's the seal going to do? What's the rigger going
to
do?
That is a good question.
Everyone needs to go in.
I have you covered from the sky.
If you're going to sneak in, we need to have an idea of what you're actually going to do to prep the scene for us also arriving.
I think you guys should drive up the driveway as fast as possible in the van, guns blazing.
That was a thought.
That was my thought, and you shouldn't listen to me.
I just had a dumb idea. Modern sixth world houses would have like breaker box, right?
More than likely. You still have some kind of fusing or breakers, whether in the sixth world they've switched entirely to digital switching and breakers is up to conjecture. This does seem to be a fairly old farmhouse, probably at least 200 years.
It's an older house. It probably has a breaker box in it, either in the kitchen or in the hallway under the stairs. So go in, cut the power. Everyone else comes in. If we need to turn some power back on to get to an electronic file, we can.
Yeah, but why would we want to cut the power?
So cameras get cut, lights get cut, makes it easier for the rest of you to get in the house.
Wait, hold on. I'm not an expert about this whole tech-a-wimey thing, but I'm pretty sure that cameras tend to have their own power, so like a battery or whatever.
I'm already hacked into the cameras anyway, so the only thing that would be getting us is cutting off the lights. And if, actually, that's a good question. Is the house running off of a generator, or is it hooked up to local grid power?
You don't know.
We don't. Okay. Can I look around and see if there are electrical poles nearby?
They could have buried power lines.
I mean, sure, but I can look.
Do I see anything from the sky?
You don't.
There you go. It could be buried.
And I'm guessing that you're sharing.
Everybody sees what I'm saying.
Buried or possible generator. It's a generator.
Yeah, might be any like power. Hardwired from the outlet, then.
In my head canon, in the sixth world, a lot of things, most appliances and houses and stuff, especially off the grid away from the city, are powered through some type of battery technology.
Okay.
To get battery deliveries every month or so.
Yeah, because I mean, it says specifically. I think it's pretty much canon that internal combustion are gone, and that everything is sort of running off of either self-contained miniaturized nuclear reactors or battery power.
I love how you're trying to restrain yourself from laughing about that.
I'll have you know that some cities even have a fusion reactor, Paul.
Ooh.
I mean, yeah. It's not like we're going to take out a hell without severe noise.
There are two things we can do. We can go loud, or we can go if we're going to go sneaky, we need some way to get past the dogs without alerting everyone to our presence. If we get rid of the dogs, maybe Deandra can sneak past the dogs or whatever. But even if Deandra can, the rest of us are still going to be over here without a real way to get past the dogs.
Do we need everyone to get in the house? Is another good question.
Well, okay. If it's safe enough for one person to go in alone, it's safe enough to go in loud.
I mean,
the only reason we wouldn't want to go in loud is if they make a comm call. And if we're worried about comm calls, don't we have a jammer?
We do, but doesn't that jammer only cover, like, a body's width of area and cover, like, the entire premises?
Oh, no. There's the head jammer, but I also have a heavier duty.
I'm speaking semi-out of character here. So we want to jam the house. I think that would be good in case we're worried about them calling the police. We want to possibly turn off the lights if we want to go in sneakily, although that'll put us in low visibility conditions, which is bad for combat.
I mean, if we just win the jammer set before we go loud, I can take Deander can take the jammer and set the jammer and then go loud.
Okay. How are we going to deal with the docks? Do we want to take them out, or are we going to let them stay kicking?
I could take care of them.
Quietly?
Yes.
Like 100%? Or like kind of potential? Is there going to be any chance for them to not be taken out?
I mean,
I haven't shot the hellhound before.
So they're going to be more resilient than, say, a normal dog or a mundane guard.
Ender could roll her security knowledge.
That'd probably be a good use of that. One.
You are aware that security companies use hellhounds as security animals.
They're generally more effective than...
Can I roll parazoology?
Yeah, I think you actually already did in the last game.
I did, but it was for a different purpose. I was trying to identify them by their howl.
And you only got... That's so Dinder's aware that, you know, hellhounds are a thing. And, you know, you're aware of the sort of rumors and talk within the security forces that you've worked in, been familiar with, that they are, you know, respected to some extent as a valid tool for, you know, facility security. There's also some feeling that they are somewhat of a blunt instrument since they can't be controlled once they're sort of let loose. But Cecile, if you want to roll parazoology. Does Grace have parazoology or something similar?
She has...
No.
She does not.
Feel is familiar with or knowledgeable about the hellhounds in sort of a general fashion. She knows that they are dual-natured, have magical abilities to some extent. They have enhanced senses, and she knows that they're immune to fire and that they have are reputed to have a power that can cause fear in subjects and cause their targets to flee in fear.
Okay. I assume that we both have a picture, and also we have Grace's testimony of what she saw astrally, so I can probably recognize a hellhound from that. Okay. I obviously relate that to the team. I say, okay, they might be able to make you very afraid magically. They're immune to fire.
Are they immune to a bullet in the head?
I don't know if I'm on board with callously killing animals that are doing their jobs.
I mean, if we're trying to avoid killing animals that are trying to do their jobs, then I guess we don't want to go loud. Because if they are guard dogs, they'll be on us in a second. Probably all six of them, rather than just the two that are outside if we go quiet.
Cecile, are you still logged onto this network? Are you still viewing the cameras?
I think so, yeah.
So you had both the cameras that were on the network, and you had the two drones cameras that were on.
Mm-hmm.
Is there such a thing as matrix perception?
There is. I can, specific rules are that you can look at a matrix construct to determine what it really is.
All right. Give us a roll on that.
Let me pull up the rules for matrix perception. Doesn't come up. Hasn't come up there. Da-da, blah.
Grim, you're still, while Veronica's looking that up, Grim, you're still flying around with the drone.
Yeah.
You see you can see the hellhounds on your thermal signature, and you can see, you don't have thermal, that's right.
I'm bad news on this trip. I can see anything that has a light on it.
You can see the hellhounds because they do stand out against the sort of green background that they're running across.
And I do have moonlight.
Yep. So you got one hit on the analyze. There is something about this network that you've logged onto that's nagging at you. Can't quite put your finger on. We touched on it in the last session that the network is too simple. There's nothing attached to it but these cameras and these.
Mm-hmm.
And
it there's it definitely
there feels
like
there
that,
should be something. There are no. Wait, you thought there were no programs running on this network, and then you realize there is one program running on.
What program is it?
You'd have to analyze it specifically because it's not.
I would like to look at the matrix program specifically. Roll poorly. One again. There's a sidebar for what I can learn. And do I find out anything in particular?
You take a look at the program and the network in general, and I'm just going to take those two analyze hits that you've got and combine them into one roll. So let's call it two hits.
two things make you wonder about this network. One is there were no user accounts logged on, or there were no accounts whatsoever on the network. So literally nobody had an account on it. And this program, when an account was created on the network, turned on a device, and that device was apparently a light.
Great. I assume I cannot control that light via the same program.
Nope, it's just on.
Okay. Bad news.
Hey, now we're here.
There is a light on. I'm pretty sure this node was a honeypot.
Well.
So they know we're here.
And part of the matrix perception thing is whether a trace is running and hidden access to another node. I care about whether a trace is running right now.
There is literally nothing else on this node whatsoever, on this network.
Okay. May I also know if there's hidden access to another node?
There is not. This is literally just a tripwire trap. You basically just touched off a tripwire that set off an alarm. Imagine it. The analog version of this is a thin wire or fishing line stretched across a...
Have more lights been going on in the time that we've been sitting here?
Nope. Nothing else has happened aside from the hellhounds walking around and the drones flying around.
What time is it?
I believe it is fairly late at night. I don't remember exactly what time it was, but it's late at night.
Even though we... I'm not sure if I know that this has happened. I don't know if you're expressing any sales.
I am.
Okay. It could just be that the tripwire is very basic and they're just sleeping.
It's literally a light. It's possible they haven't noticed, but it's also possible they're in their burning documents as we speak.
Yeah, you guys could do a logic plus intuition test. Anybody who wanted to, or you could teamwork one.
Or
you said logic plus intuition?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna... What?
Grace is just like, what are they talking about? Tripwires?
You mean it's like going to, like, hang me up by my leg?
For our listener, Grace rolled zero. The rest of you guys, the obvious conclusion is that the light went on and whoever was in the house and the fire or had the lights on is somewhere that can't be seen by the... Right? So
yep.
Mm-hmm.
You guys see the entire interior of the house. They're not there. Did they leave the house or are they somewhere in the house that can't be seen from the cameras?
Downstairs or the attic?
We can see the attic. Or we've seen in downstairs. The attic, right?
Yeah.
Grace was in the attic in the astral.
And it was clear. There was no one
there. There wasn't even a giant spider.
Okay. I am going to fall out of my... And then she just like collapses. And she's going to go zoomies over back to the house. There's not like a ward on the house's walls itself.
The walls appear to be lined with some type of living material. You cannot fly through.
What about the windows?
You can go through the windows.
Okay. Through the window, she wants to go poking around and try to find like any access downstairs using what she knows about metahuman architecture.
All right. We are going to slide over. Oh, I need to slide over too.
Yeah, dude.
Where's the fireplace? The
fireplace is right
here. Oh, okay. And there's a camera there, so we can see that room.
Yeah, so anywhere you guys see something like this, this is a camera.
Mm-hmm.
So there are actually two cameras in that room. Grace, you can zip through all of these corridors here. It's only the exterior walls that have the biomaterial in them.
Uh-huh.
But on this floor, you don't find anybody or any...
What she's looking for is like a part of the floor that doesn't just go straight down into the earth.
You find several animal skins lying on the...
What about underneath those animal skins? Is there like a funny trap door?
No, there's earth underneath of them as you zip through the...
Wait, that seems so silly. The reason why we needed to do this tonight is because they're not home.
Did they not tell us that?
Mm-mm. Kirsten isn't very big on explaining.
There's no vehicle outside or in the barn. We didn't spot one.
You didn't know.
So why would they be home without a vehicle?
This is so silly. Why did not...
She's going to zip around and just confirm that there is no basement to the building. And then she's going to go return to the party, like gasp, set up. They're not home.
Okay, hang on. There is a basement.
Oh, there
is. It just takes a seal. It, It just takes Grace a second to, or a minute to find it.
In astral terms, is like basically no time at all.
Yeah, because if you're doing a systematic, like, poke your nose through the floor kind of thing, you will eventually find a door, a basement.
Where is it?
It is underneath of this machinery, and you poke your nose through it, and you find yourself in a subterranean tunnel.
Where?
And then, so do you continue exploring?
I think she's more careful now. Is it like earth to either side of the tunnel?
No, it's where the house and building of the house itself appeared very old. This is very modern and high tech.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you can't obviously see it like that in the astral, but you can tell that these are highly manufactured, highly artificial materials surrounding.
Okay. And this was a secret entrance too. It's exactly what I was looking for. Are there any recent astral like impressions just from the entrance looking down the tunnel way, or is it
just... It's just one way. And can you pick up astral impressions I guess you probably can.
Because, okay, so like the concept of mundane and awakened is a like social construct. And it is true that awakened things like leave more of a mark on the astral, but mundane living things also leave their mark. They leave their emotional stink on things. Those like deteriorate pretty quickly unless it's extreme emotion.
So you definitely do see an astral trail headed in the other direction.
Well, she's going to follow it, again being careful and trying to be mindful, like probably constantly looking over her shoulder, even though it's been in real time, like seconds or milliseconds.
There is an artificial material in front of you, which you interpret as a door, and you poke your head through it and find yourself in another very artificial space room kind of thing. And you perceive a metahuman in this.
Where are they? What are they doing?
They appear to be sitting down or reclining in some way.
They aren't awakened, are they?
They are not awakened.
Moving forward through the door and checking, there's no one else here, right?
There's no one else. There's only this one person. And there does not seem to be another exit from this.
Okay. I want to approach and try and get an idea of what they're doing with their hands before I go back.
They are not moving at all.
Are they asleep?
You can't really tell. Although maybe you can. Maybe you can...
I can roll a
surface sensing.
Perception?
Perception's probably more like it. You think that they may be either logged into the Matrix or something similar. I mean, you've seen this before.
So their body is disengaged, but their mind isn't. And it's still inside of their body, just connected.
Right.
Okay. I'm going to timidly back off at first. I imagine like a gentle backpedal, and then she just like jumps around into a turn and then goes flying back out through the tunnel, back upstairs and then one of the windows to go back around into the party, to snap okay. back into her body. And like, I don't know how long it would have been. Well, she just like starts with a little gasp.
Plugged into the Matrix right now, downstairs.
Seal disconnects, turns off her comlink. Wait. First, she's going to give an order to the drones. Turn off the autopilot on the drones and just make them hover?
Cecile, as you're trying to do this, you realize that you don't actually control the drones. You're just getting a video.
Yeah, she disconnects and turns off her comlink.
Do you inform the rest of the party of the situation?
Yeah, okay.
We've hit a Matrix tripwire. We know there's at least one person out there in a secured bunker, probably in the Matrix. If there are virtual files, they've probably deleted them already. Can we restore deleted virtual files if we have the hard drive?
Sometimes. Okay. In any case, I think we need to go, like, now, not later.
Okay. I think Deandre just, like, opens the door and hops out.
No, the drones, we don't have control over them, which means they're going to fire at us when we drive up.
Yeah, so we need to plant the jammer in the house, right? Because the drones are wireless, aren't they? They're not...
They're wireless, yeah, but so they also have autonomous pilot programs, I would imagine.
If we jam the house, we can just avoid them based on their, patrol pattern, right? They don't cover the whole house all at once.
That would be difficult.
Yeah. Unless Grim was going to engage the drones, we don't have any other choice.
They are connected to the Matrix. They know we're here. We need to get some kind of file that's somewhere. Like, I don't know if we have the amount of time necessary to walk, like, 100 meters stealthily, climb on rope, plant something.
Oh, I wasn't going to walk. I was going to run. And I was going to attempt to break in on the ground floor. Because we're going loud now, aren't we?
I can try to find you a gas.
I would say, because we're going to have to Grim is going to have to drive all the way around back to the front of the building. That's going to take you guys longer than it will to sprint 100 meters.
I feel like we're in smash and grab territory here now.
Okay, but it is going to take you guys longer to drive than it is run 100 meters. So I'm going to get out and go.
I can try to find you an opening in between the drones. And
fuck it. I'll cover you.
Sounds good. I think DeAndre just like...
Wasn't the last time we talked about this boxer was going to take up a sniper position somewhere?
The situation has changed.
I should say, if you all want to do something different, I'm totally amenable to that. I just feel like we have a sense of...
We're literally trying to jump out of the car and started talking to us.
That was out of character. I didn't want to like shut anyone down.
But yes,
Boxer and DeAndre are like trying to bail out of the car and so he's like, hang on, just one more thing. If you guys want to do something else.
Cecile isn't that polite.
I think Boxer and DeAndre have the understanding that this needs to go now and we are going to sprint while you guys circle around.
Okay.
Get us out afterwards. Right?
Liz, are you also on board with that?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Because the person is in the Matrix. Presumably they know we are here.
They could also just be jacked into the drones.
They could.
What drones?
The two
just
drones.
Be surveilling with the drones.
Wouldn't they have noticed us?
They certainly are now.
We are far enough away so that the drones haven't noticed us. The tripwire in the Matrix, so it's only a matter of time before they notice that someone has gotten in house.
What if they just haven't checked it? Like, what if they're, like, browsing Reddit right now?
They could have, but that doesn't mean that we have time to stall. That means that we have to go.
They're browsing virtual. They haven't even realized you're there.
I wanted to suggest that, but it felt too on the nose.
I mean, it'd be realistic.
In the basement, no less.
We've set off the system. That doesn't mean that the guard won't be, we assume as a guard, won't know that we're here for a while. I mean, they will know anything. So the plan is Boxer and DeAndre run in, and then everyone else circles around, right?
I concur.
I'd probably switch out my fly spy to my bigger one and just kind of in the trees. Hopefully far enough away from Hellhound.
Actually, wait.
What was the actually wait for?
Cecile remembers also that this... that the target, the owner of the house, is a security systems consultant.
Mm-hmm. They have guardian vines through the walls, but of course they do.
Yep.
And hellhounds and drones.
Did Nightingale tell us where the trapdoor is? Oh, it's under the...
She could probably sort of lead you to it in the house. She can't really describe it to you because astral vision is different. There's not really any...
And also, if we get there, there's no guarantee we can actually open it. So we're taking a lot of risks. We're hoping that the person who has surprised us once won't also have serious surprises once we get inside. We're hoping that he doesn't already know that we're here.
Cecile, are you just trying to convince us to back out at this point, or do you have another plan?
I'm not convincing us. I just want you to be aware that you're probably going to run up against some serious shit.
Okay. I think we know that by now.
I just want you to be aware in case robots fall out of the walls.
Thank you. I'll make sure to hit them with my sword when robots fall.
That's also me out of character.
I have to say, when Dex said, it's so obvious they're not here, I was like, oh man, that would have been pretty cool too. But
we like the whole time we've been planning and then it's just like, oh my gosh, they're literally just not home.
It's just an empty house.
Yeah, we've spent two sessions arguing about a plan, and there's no one.
I was so tempted, like, oh, this is so cool, but then I was like, no, stick to the plan. All right, speaking of sticking to the plan, what is the plan? So DeAndre and Boxer bailed out of the van and are headed that way?
DeAndre and Boxer are in dive mode now.
What are the people, Grim, what are you doing with the van? So you've got Grace, Grim, and Cecile in the van.
Yeah, so... I'm going to get the large drone out and just command it to kind of take a be at the ready on the outside of the van.
What is the large drone? Is it the Steel Lynx or?
No, it's the Ford LEBD flying.
Oh, okay.
It's just, we're far enough away that a normal creature probably wouldn't be able to hear that, right? the lawnmower?
They probably would. I mean, it's meta game, but hellhounds do have heightened senses.
And I will take it out. I will keep the small drone as overwatch for the situation until it gets sour. And the location that I had it, which was kind of oversight over this whole area.
All right, so I'm going to... So if Boxer and Deandre are up here, you've run up sort of this hill across this field into this tree line, and you realize that there's a bit of a... It's not in any way insurmountable, but there's sort of a stone ledge cliff here with a drop-off. This right here, there is a convenient log lying across it where a tree fell down many that you could slide down, and then there's also a sort of a rock slide down here that you cross. Boxer, you have AR goggles on?
Yes.
So well, you could be getting feed. You're still getting the feed from Grimm's drone, I would say. And so I'm going to leave the icons of the hellhounds and the drones where they are right at this second, and say that's the current location as Deander and Boxer up here in this tree line on this elevated ledge with some cover.
Here's one thing that I feel like should have come up before. Do Deander and Boxer both know enough similar military hand sign to communicate with each other silently, or do we have...
You can use hand signals.
Okay. Boxer, are you taking pointers, Deander?
Boxer's faster, so she'd probably end up in front.
I mean, we are both running, so you have to roll running checks according to the rules.
But... For sprinting.
Yeah. I do think we should cross to the south still and get in on the side of the house that doesn't have cameras on it, or at least that doesn't have an obvious camera on it.
With the back porch on the south, eastern side of the building?
Yeah, but the south wall with the master bedroom.
Oh, yeah, if you're going through a window, yeah.
The Indira is going to mount the log and start walking down or sliding down the best she can.
Roll agility.
Would this count as an outdoor group skill test?
Sure.
Okay.
Can you use gymnastics for it?
Absolutely.
Default, but I do get my plus one from being a drop two.
Deandre, you managed to make your way down the fallen tree, not ungracefully, but compared to Boxer, you basically look like you're falling.
Yep.
But you both make it down. You're now in the thick forest. Deander, you're not getting it because you don't have any kind of access to AR or tactical network. But Boxer sees the hellhound. This hellhound is sort of moving away from you guys. They all seem to be... This drone is moving in this direction. And actually, this drone is moving in this direction at this time. And the other hellhound you don't see. But this is sort of the way that they're moving, this kind of circular pattern, although some of them are counterclockwise.
So I think it seems like there'd be a break in between on the south side. So we should cross and wait for that and then run through the break in the patrol.
Boxer signs to Gendra, drone overhead, north. Dog moving up south.
I think Deander signs back like affirmative. Or heard. I think Deandre wanted to go this way and then cross to the back of the house, the south side here. Like stay in tree cover and then cross tree cover over here and maybe wait in these trees for the opening on the south side.
What are the occupants of the van doing? Cecile, are you logging back into the network, into that network that's visible, or are you staying hell away from it?
Cecile is staying the hell away from it right now. She doesn't trust it.
But she saw that there was nothing on it.
She's not that dumb.
Do you want me to move this vehicle closer? We can try to move it from to the south side of this building in case we need an extraction. If there's a way that I can map out getting down at this area down at the south end. Not this close, obviously, but whatever this road connects to, if that makes any sense, that I cut out there.
No, I heard you.
All right. Is there a way for me to be able to do that? Based on maps, that if I'm able to pull anything up, is there a connection there to another road that I'm able?
Yeah, so this road is the driveway that goes down to the main road that you guys drove up on. You drove past that driveway. So you can drive down there and get back onto that roadway, or you could even come up here potentially and park. And you get close enough, if these drones are going to be hostile, you're going to get in.
Yeah, I'm not trying to get close. I was just, if it's a possibility, I'm asking the group if that's something that they would want me to do.
Oh, may I try something?
It depends on what it is.
I would like to try to capture the wireless signal from the drones.
Okay.
Am I within their signal range? Or I suppose, will I be?
I don't. I'd have to look up the...
Am I within, like, 400 meters?
Right now, in the van, you're a kilometer away.
Okay. In that case, I'll save it for when we're a little closer.
Do you want to move closer, Sasu?
Yeah, I was under the impression that while they were doing their stealth shit, we were, like, driving up.
Getting into the about-to-drive-up position, I guess.
Yeah. I'm going to try to get in the best optimal position to be able to get in there and out of there as soon as possible without getting too close.
That would probably be where the driveway meets the main.
Okay. How far, about what distance is that?
It's a couple hundred meters.
Down at the street, then.
And I'm assuming that you're, I'm going to assume that you've stealthed your van as much as possible.
As far as from any kind of, just the spoof things, not so much maybe from a stealth aspect, like a license plate spoof and stuff like that, but not, it's pretty visible.
I meant mainly you've turned your head like you can.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
I'm just going to go ahead and...
I'm not going to honk twice just to let everybody know where I'm at.
All right, you guys are doing that, and I guess Boxer and Deendeer make a stealth check.
That's infiltration, right?
Infiltration. You can give yourself a +2 bonus on them.
Can I add my outside symbiosis for Druid to it as well, or should I just leave it at +2?
Seems like that's a reasonable benefit.
7.
All right. So you guys have come down through the trees, down through the log, and you guys are making your way through this tree line. The Hellhound is moving further south. The drones have crossed each other at this, and one's behind the barn. In about 30 seconds, you're going to have probably close to a minute window to get to the house. Remembering that there are a couple of cameras at the front of the house.
I mean, we wanted to cross to the south to avoid the front of house cameras.
So you guys are going to go all the way down?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So with your infiltration rolls and your agility rolls, let's just say you make it, you hurry through the forest across this little opening down here. You guys get down here. At this point, this Hellhound's over here. This guy's over here. And I think this guy was headed south too. So he's basically moved down that way.
Yep.
And then just keep acting this out. At this point, you guys take control of your characters and tell me where they went.
We'd like to cross, Deendeer would like to cross to the south to this back of house here.
Rim, you're watching all of this through the feeds of your cameras. Cecile, you are too. Grace, do you have AR goggles?
No, she doesn't.
All right. So at this point, Grace is sort of slightly disconnected from what is going on. Did she want to do anything at all? So she's in the van. So if you look at the bottom left hand of the map where the van is drawn, you're in the van with Cecile and
I think she might go astral to move with those two that are going towards the house and show them where the entrance to the basement is.
Okay, so you leave astrally and zip over to them.
Yes, she probably manifests whenever they take just a moment to breathe and just explain what she's going to do, which is, hey,
I think you probably show up and Deendeer and Boxer are like facing each other, communicating entirely in hand sign.
And then Grace is right there. A ghostly image of Grace, but Grace. And she's like, hey, by the way, I'm going to show y'all the basement's access. I don't know if you're going to be able to get in, but, well, yeah.
Are there external locks on the windows?
So you guys get to the windows, and you probably have about a minute or two. And who was rolling? Who said they have outdoor skills or wilderness skills?
If you're talking about a bonus to outdoor skills, the symbiosis trait gives me a bonus to outdoor skills.
Give us a survival. 1 point. You remember that Hellhounds have heightened senses, amongst them smell. You've probably only got a couple of minutes before one of these hellhounds picks up your trail out there.
Yep.
We don't have long until those dogs catch up to us, so...
All right, so the... are your guys are... Deendeer, you're examining the windows. And you can roll a pertinent skill for me.
Perception? 2.
The windows, although they appear to be old-fashioned from a distance, are also obviously fairly heavy-duty bulletproof glass. There is, you see the faint telltales that you might have overlooked, except for you're looking very close to the train. There is some kind of sensor or alarm on them.
Now, how are we going to get either through bulletproof glass or through the lock on the bulletproof glass? There isn't like a physical lock on the inside of the window, right? Like I can peek in and there isn't like a latch on top of it.
Yeah, there probably is. So that, I mean, just so that you can open the window.
Oh, lovely. Deander is going to attempt to get her hands under the window and yank it up fast enough to break the latch.
Okay.
So I guess that would be...
I think you're going to need some kind of an implement, like a knife or something like that to get under...
Let's see. Let's look at my breaking and entering gear and see what we can...
Crowbar, knife.
I have crowbar.
There we go.
So I imagine Deander pulls off like a tube off of the side of her gear and it just becomes a crowbar through arcane sixth world tech. And she just shoves it and yanks the window open.
All right. And then give us a strength test.
Perfect.
Am I within range of that drone?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to try a Hail Mary to try to capture its wireless signal. No, I needed 3. And I'm not going to keep trying that because I only have 3 dice. Oh, 4 dice. The odds on that aren't good. Is the drone in hidden mode? Like, can I see... Well, actually, I turned my comm link back on, I should say.
When you say hidden mode, like, you're still seeing...
Can I see that it has a node that's, like, active? Like, could I reach out in the matrix and touch it to hack?
But it's only the node that you're seeing on the drone is the camera's node. So somebody's obviously gone and been clever and attached a camera on a separate network, the one that's attached to the house. So you're not actually seeing the drone.
Okay.
That's how they faked you out. So when you were in the visible house's network and you thought you were seeing the drone's camera feed, you were seeing just a camera.
Okay. Chances of... Well, I have... let me look at some stuff.
All right, so Deander, you did not manage to pry the door, the window with that first try.
Deander is going to look at Boxer, like, can you give me a hand here? And is going to attempt again.
Yeah, you can teamwork this. You can both get on this and sort of use your combined strength to lever on.
Would this just be strength or strength and body? Because you're, like, pressing down
strength
on
and body.
The crowbar. I'm much better at strength plus body. 3.
All right, you hear something giving way in the mechanism, and give me another roll, I guess. I'm basically using this as sort of like a cumulative kind of thing. All right, with a total of 11 successes at this, you hear a sharp crack as the latch gives way and the window slides upwards.
I think Deander then just jump, like, very quickly gets in the window, scrambles
all right.
in.
Both of you scramble quickly into the house. So I'm going to switch us over to the house map, even though to some extent what's happening outside is pertinent. All right, so in the house are Deander, Grace, Boxer. You guys slipped through the window right here. You just came through this window right there. You appear to be in what's probably a master bedroom. There is to your left is a large bed with some night tables on it. There's right in front of you sort of a cozy lounge area. There's a door exiting to your right, which is has a big pane in it, so you can see that there's a porch out there, and then there's another door straight ahead of you.
I mean, we've seen the inside layout, so we know where we're going.
And Grace, are you manifesting at this
point? There would be no reason for her to stop manifesting, because there's nothing alive up here to hear other than those two.
Nope. So are you going to lead them directly there?
What are they wanting to do? Do they want to go directly there? If so, yes.
I can take care of the Decker. I have my head jammer. I can make sure he can't call for help, do whatever else needs doing. And you can start to find our file that we're here for.
I mean, quick search is just, it's something we would recognize. So I think Deander is just going to, like, basically turn over the room if that's the case and go room by room, but that would take a while. So I assume we want to something near the Decker. So,
okay.
Grim, you see You see the team get in through the window. Are you going to do anything different at this point?
Pretty much just trying to give Boxer a feed so that they're aware of the situation. Is there any... I know Cecile was trying to sniff her. I have sniffer as well. Is there any way? Well, I guess you don't want to do it anymore.
Well, I wasn't... I tried to do it, but my e-warfare isn't very good. What's your e-warfare?
3.
That's pretty good.
I bought this this package of programs. I've been dying to use them, but I don't know.
Do you have sniffer?
I have sniffer.
What rating?
3.
By Riot? I don't... Because, like, if... What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to capture wireless signal and then run a trace on that to get to the originating node.
If I can capture the wireless signal, can I hand it off to you?
That's what I don't.
I would rule that you can.
Okay. Well, all right. I have the program added to programs with skill hacking, or would it be electronic warfare?
E-warfare plus the rating of your sniffer.
And what's that versus?
It's not versus. It's threshold 3.
Since I'm fully jacked into the matrix, instead of just using AR, I get a +2 modifier.
Yeah.
So I got a 2.
2 hits is not enough.
All right. Well, it was worth a try.
Twas.
Yeah, it was a good idea. On a related note, you do see that the drones have altered their course and are now headed towards the end of the house where they just broke in.
Okay.
Can we send them that via message?
The Topps Company, Inc. has sole ownership of the names, logo, artwork, marks, photographs, sounds, audio, video, and or any proprietary material used in connection with the game Shadowrun. The Topps Company, Inc. has granted permission to the Hard Knock Sorority Podcast to use such names, logos, artwork, marks, and or any proprietary materials for promotional and informational purposes on its website, but does not endorse and is not affiliated with the Hard Knock Sorority Podcast in any official capacity whatsoever.
The music for the Hard Knock Sorority Podcast was written and performed by Trace Mineral. The Hard Knock Sorority Podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons License 4.0, meaning you are welcome to use the material as long as you give us credit. A college girl's curiosity, she started it all.
To the Hard Knock Sorority, where tech collides with art.